I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. On today's program, Conflict and Renewal, we'll hear from a military man who fought the enemy thousands of miles away while trying to save a failing marriage at home. Later, a would-be Iron Chef peppers American cuisine with the flavors of the Ivory Coast. But first, to another West African country, Sierra Leone. Americans know it best as the site of a long civil war, regarded as one of the most brutal in modern history. At least 50,000 dead, hundreds of thousands injured, mutilated, and displaced. The conflict gave rise to a worldwide movement to stop the use of diamonds to fund conflicts. Now Sierra Leone faces the monumental task of rebuilding and shoring up a fledgling democracy. Its new president, Ernest Bai Koroma, has taken up that challenge. He joins us on the phone right now from Freetown, Sierra Leone. Welcome, Mr. President, and thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
You won 54% of the vote in last month's very difficult election, but I think some might wonder if they should offer you congratulations or condolences. It seems that the task before you is very large. What do you consider your most urgent priority?
Indeed, the challenges ahead are great, but I have prioritized the issues that government should address. We have agreed that as a government, we will be addressing the restoration of the basic utilities, electricity and energy in the country, and water supply. We can improve on our social service delivery system that is also terrible. With energy, we can unlock the opportunities for the improvement of our economy and thereby turning around the economy.
One of the other steps that you have taken is to declare zero tolerance for corruption. Why is that so important?
Well, it is important because one of the cancers of our society and the reasons why we have not made any impact, even in the light of the support from both the international community and the Sierra Leoneans, and also the resilience shown by the Sierra Leoneans, is that corruption has eaten away all of the efforts. And I believe that if we are able to send the right signals by putting up a very robust fight against corruption, it will ensure all of it will be improved substantially.
I'm told that as part of this anti-corruption effort, you have declared that all public officials will have to declare their assets. They'll have to make public their assets. Have you done this yet?
Yes, we are completing now the mechanism that will be used in declaring the assets. I mean, we want to do so to ensure that the public knows the assets of public officials. So if there is going to be a difference at the time they leave office or there are variations at the time they are in office, we believe that it will ring the bell. And again, it will serve as a deterrent to those that will be taking up public offices.
What's the tool of enforcement? Is it shame? Is it merely that the shining the light on these facts will keep people in line? Or is there some other tool of enforcement, like a law?
It's not just shaming them, but I mean, the due process of the law will be applied fully. I mean, we already have the Anti-Corruption Commission that we are going to strengthen, and there are laws in the country for various offenses. And I have assured the nation that nobody will be protected. Anybody that is false foul of the law, the law will be applied appropriately.
One of the things you're clearly trying to do is achieve kind of a change in the culture, in the mindset of people toward their government. It is the custom in places where they're trying to achieve that, to get rid of everybody associated with the old regime. But in the U.S., in Iraq now, the U.S. has now been criticized for moving too quickly to purge people who were associated with the regime of Saddam Hussein. The feeling is now, when you do that, maybe you lose people who have critical skills and knowledge. So how do you decide something like that? Do you think that it's time to sort of completely clean house, or are there people from the previous regimes who you feel need to continue to serve?
Now, I am not going to draw a line between those that have served in the past and those that are coming new. My position is that we have laid certain principles. I think we have to adopt new values. if you are able to adopt them and you believe that you can work well within the framework of the new direction, the question of how well do you fit into this new system, that will be the basis.
One of the other challenges, it would seem to me, after such a long war, particularly in a war where so many civilians were caught up in the fighting, is you've got to help people recover their psyches, especially when children have been brought into conflict. That's all they know. How are you doing in this regard? What steps can you take I don't even know what to say, to help children understand what it is to be a normal child when they've been exposed to so much violence?
Well, after the war, we have gone through the humanitarian stabilization period, and during that time, we had the programs like the DDR, which is the disarmament and the reintegration of people into the society. And most of the armed combatants went through that program. It is going to be difficult because they've lost their childhood. It is going to be difficult because most of them have not known anything other than the war. Well, I believe it is a challenge that we are coping with. And it is interesting to note that there is a turnaround. Most of them are fully engaged in some vocations, and they look forward to improving their lot and contributing towards the development of the society. But we are moving in that direction.
You're hopeful.
Yes, I'm hopeful.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with the president of Sierra Leone, Ernest Bai Koroma. Mr. President, you're not the only country in the region dealing with these issues. Liberia, for example, is trying to rebuild a democratic government also. But the former leader of that country, Charles Taylor, as you know, is currently being tried before a UN-backed special court. Are you at all concerned about this trial? Are you concerned that if he is found guilty, that there will be repercussions in your country? Are you concerned if he's acquitted, that there will be repercussions?
No, I believe that the trial in itself sends a clear signal of putting an end to this circle of impunity. And I believe that it will serve as a deterrent to other people. Now, whether at the end of the day the court decides to charge him and is convicted, I think it will complete the circle. If he is acquitted, I mean, at least there would have been a clear sign that nobody can do what he did and end up as a free man. I mean, I think it will bring to an end this circle of military coups and warlords shooting their way into power.
And many Americans are familiar with the concept of blood diamonds. It is known now that a lot of the money made from diamond mining in Sierra Leone was used to fund the war. Is this a source of wealth now that can help rebuild your country? And I also wanted to ask, what is your message for Americans, many of whom may have avoided buying diamonds in recent years because they're concerned that these purchases are helping to further destabilize the country?
Well, I think the issue of the blood diamonds, I think, is an issue of the past. We now have a government diamond office through which all the diamonds are exported. And I am even coming to introduce a diamond coating and polishing process in the country to further provide employment facilities and also to add value on the diamonds. Investing or participating in the procurement of diamonds is not helping anybody to fuel war. But, I mean, if you do so now, you will be assisting the civilian economy. You'll be helping to fuel employment, and I think it is a positive participation. It is no longer negative as in the past.
I think that young brides everywhere will be relieved to hear that message from you. And what would you like to see the United States do to support your country and the region?
Well, I must say that the United States has been part and parcel of most of the programs that are going on here. We are looking forward to them for greater participation in these endeavors, and also we look forward to their emphasis on areas of the economy, investment in the fields of agriculture, investment in the areas of education. We look forward to a greater participation because people are expecting a whole lot from the government, and our revenue base for now is very limited. We depend a whole lot on the support from the international community, and we look forward to America being the world's leading democratic power to give us a helping hand in all aspects that will help us to get on our knees again.
And finally, sir, if you have a moment to yourself, if you have a moment to think your own quiet thoughts, what is your dream for your country?
Well, I am dreaming of a Sierra Leone that Sierra Leoneans of all sorts will have equal opportunities, a Sierra Leone that will respect human rights, a Sierra Leone wherein the economy is up and about again, and wherein everybody will be devoted to the promotion of law and order, ensuring that the democracy holds firmly in the sub-region.
Do you see a time when Sierra Leone might be a place that people will come to visit for enjoyment, say for tourism?
Oh, yes. We have the greatest touristic potential within the sub-region. You cannot compare to any country. It is a heaven on earth. And, you cannot really imagine what Sierra Leone is until you're here. Therefore, I'm inviting everybody to come and visit Sierra Leone. It is peaceful. You hardly hear a gunshot. The guns have all gone silent, and the crime is under control. And I believe that Sierra Leone is the best destination for tourists.
Well, that is a good thought on which to end. Mr. President, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Ernest Bai Koroma is the president of Sierra Leone. He spoke to us from his office in Freetown. Thank you once again.
Thank you.